morning, everyone.
Move down here because Mike will do a little setup today. Sermon had a few things I wanted to share with you, things that are coming up. One, I was listening, I was here a little early today. I came with my youngest son during for music practice, and I was listening to the song they were playing that "You Are Glorious." And I was in the fellowship hall and had my Bible open, and I was listening. I could hear that in the background, "You're glorious." And I was thinking about, you know, do I feel glorious today? Do I feel that about my life? And I thought, well, no. Honestly, I don't feel that way. I go, well, why is that? I'm in church. I'm here. Everything I need. I hear this beautiful music of, and I don't know what you struggle with. You know, I've been working on a little video, and as I get older, I've noticed as I look in the mirror, this is, maybe you don't struggle with this, but I have gray hair. I've noticed this thing, and when I look in the mirror, I don't think of myself that way. And I look in the mirror and I go, well, that's not me. That's not really me. I'm not that guy with gray hair. And you know, here's the part that I really like. In God's eyes, I'm right. Because he says, you're glorious. God doesn't look at me and go, hey, you with the gray hair, I want to talk to you. God says, no, you who are beloved, you who are part of my family. And even Paul said, it is not revealed what we shall be one day. It is not revealed. And you know, when we get to heaven, we're gonna look at each other and we go, well, look at how God made you. You look at how glorious and beautiful you are. We will talk to each other and say, look how good God is. And in heaven it'll be, if I have gray hair, I go, boy, that gray hair is glorious. However, God will do it. You know what I mean? So I hope you don't struggle with vain things like I do in that. But that is a good thing. So I had a few announcements for you coming up just in April. Actually, Jews for Jesus is coming on April 7th. That's kind of a special time right before, a week or two before Good Friday and Easter. And they're going to be presenting as part of our service, showing how some of the Jewish traditions are connected with the sacrifice of Christ and connected in Christianity. I know it's easy to think, oh, that was just different. It was just the Old Testament. But Christ is the fulfillment, the ultimate sacrifice. So they're going to be here. We're excited about that coming up. I had one other announcement. Mike is very good about doing notes for his sermon. If you didn't get sermon notes, could you raise your hand and you want some? Nathan was going to hand those out to you. If you didn't get the notes, he'll give you a bulletin with notes in it. And so you will have those. And last but not least, announcements for today. There's other announcements in your bulletin. If you're on the decor committee, I do need to meet at about 11:45 in the middle room. We have a new development. The Educare group has realized that they may want some blinds so the kids be looking through the windows at each other and so the kids can nap. And there's a special blind system. It can't have any, for safety, any cords or anything like that. So we have a couple, we need to make a couple decisions there. So if you can get with me in the middle Sunday school room at about 11:45, we'll have some things we have to sort out there. So that's it for my announcements. The kids are going to stay in the service until Mike releases them. So stay here as they're going to have a little bit of part of the sermon, and this is the time in our service where we take the offering. So if we can have our ushers come forward, that would be helpful, and Mike will be up right after that. Thank you.
Any Awana age, come on up. Yeah. All right. Who wants to do a magic trick? All right. Well, I was a little bit inspired. You know how last time I preached, I talked about magicians involved in my life. when I was younger, and then I was talking to Christian. He inspired me a little bit, so I thought, all right, let's. I have never done a trick during a sermon on Sunday morning, so I'm like, hey, we got to do that, right, kids? All right. So what I am going to do is bake. We're going to bake, and the reason I want to bake today is because my wife and I watch this show, Great British Bake Off, or something. Or is it Great British Baking? And what I noticed while I was watching that show, I watched it a little bit. So we're going to bake a cake in this pan here. What I noticed when I watched that show, oh, by the way, I am going to, I'm going to use my magic hat. I'm going to cook in my magic hat. I noticed when I watched that show that the problem with that show is that they're always pressed for time. How many of you have seen that show? And they always have to bake in time. So I thought, wow, if I could do magic tricks during that show, I could win that contest because I could just, bam, bake it. All right? So, but I haven't done magic in a long time. And so you have to kind of bear with me just a little bit. So I'm going to take the pan and put it in the hat because we're going to actually, I don't use an oven. I use a hat, my magic hat. That's my long, trusty hat for years and years as my oven. All right. So what do we use to bake? Eggs. Does anybody know you got to use eggs? Flour, yeah. All right, I'm going to start with an egg just because that's the messiest. We'll get that over with. And I'm not real good. This is actually the Fulmer bowl. We're supposed to give it back to him sometime. But so we're going to bake here. My wife's the one that taught me you don't just crack the eggs into the pan. You do it in a bowl first and then, you know, I don't know what to do with the, yeah, I'll just throw them in there. That's it. Maybe I can smash them up a little bit. There we go. Hopefully no one will notice. That's what this whisk is for. All right. I'm not a baker. So, I forgot. You know, I haven't done magic in a long time. I totally forgot that I'm supposed to have someone look at this. Let me see. I'll have a volunteer. Luke, you look this over. All right. Take that. All right. Hold on to it. Look it over. Make sure there's no trap doors or mirrors or anything. And this isn't going to taste real good with these shells in it, is it? All right, so what do I do? Oh, what's the other ingredient? Flour. All right, I think I've got some flour in here. Just dump some of that in there. That's enough. All right. By the way, my wife's always telling me, when I cook, I don't use a recipe, I just wing it. You know, she's always by the book. You know, every ingredient, measure it out. I just kind of wing it. Usually works out all right. All right. That's probably enough. We're going to kind of get this. I'm just going to put that right in there. Ugh. Get a little more out of there. Although I don't think we have all the ingredients. What other ingredients do we use? Milk. All right, milk. All right, I have some milk here. Pour it in there. All right. Sugar. I got some sugar. Did I tell you this was my favorite hat? For years, it's been my favorite hat. All right, there we go. What else? I like chocolate cake, so I think all you do with chocolate cake is just put some Hershey syrup in there. Right? Isn't that how you do chocolate cakes? All right. Now, Mr. Staniger, when I told him that I was going to do a magic trick during the service, he just stared at me for a little while. And then he was like, you're not going to use fire, are you? So just for him, I'm going to use a little fire. Because if we're baking a cake, we got to have a little fire, right? And there we go. That should be enough. And now, wait. What happened? Who's got the pan? Oh man. Oh, why didn't you guys say something? Here, give me that. Like I said, I haven't done magic in a long time. I know. I know. You would think, what's wrong with me, right? Oh, my gosh, maybe I can. I don't know how I'm going to redeem this. Well, that's the end of our service today, so everybody, you may, the ushers will usher you out. Go to Fellowship Hall. I need a couple of volunteers. All right, Felicity. All right, Luke. Are you stand right there, Felicity? Yeah, I'll get Luke. Luke, you stand over here. It's actually right over there. Stand right there. Right there. That trap door, right there. Okay. All right. Hold this. We're not doing magic wands today because we're cooking. We're doing magic spatulas. Okay. So, I don't know how I'm going to redeem this except that Felicity's going to help me out. I got the pan over all the junk. Luckily, it's a waterproof hat. Put this on your head. Put one hand on each side of the hat. Hold it. No, on the rim. Now hold it tight against your skull. Not that tight. Not that tight. Okay, now, I want you to stay like this for like 3 hours until you go home, then get in the shower, and then you can take it off, okay? But don't let anybody see it. All right, give them a big hand for helping us out. Actually, we'll do something else. This could be a mess. Wave the magic spatula. Come on, wave it in there. There you go. All right. Now say the magic words. No. Today's magic words are the opposite of gooey, gooey, gooch. Goochy, goochy, goo. All right, because there you have a lot of goo. Do it again. All right, let go, Felicity. Let's see what happened here. Oh, beautiful. We have a cake. All right. Give them a big hand for helping out. Oh, all right, Luke, you can sit down. Let's see. Felicity brings up a good point that at the end of every cooking show, what do they always do at the end of every cooking show? Yeah, they got to taste it. Okay, here. Take it. Give it a taste. How is it? Bon appetit. Go ahead. All right. Thank you. All right. Sunday school class. You guys can all go. That was the only interesting thing this morning. And teachers, you got to go too, by the way. Well, welcome to Glen Arbor. Oh, I didn't even do the children's moment. Oh, well. There was a lesson, but I totally forgot the lesson. I'll give it to you guys a little later. Well, welcome to Glen Arbor, where we do anything to keep you coming back. There is a reason for all this, believe me, besides just having a little fun. So we are in the middle of, how am I going to transition to Ephesians? We are in the middle of Ephesians 1, and the monitor's fixed up here, that's great. And we're looking at verse 10 today, and what we're looking at in the series is an exciting series on the blessings of salvation that Paul laid out in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And this morning we're going to focus just on verse 10 and 10 alone. Last fall we had a pastor from one of our sister churches in Costa Rica, Carlos Gomez, came in town in November, was it? And he came in town with Angel, a pastor from Managua, too. And they were sitting in my living room before they came to the church here, and we were talking about our vision to wanting to reach Latinos in our community here and asking them for help. They're church planters of 30, 40 years. They've been at it for a long time. And Carlos started giving advice. He's kind of a visionary guy. And he got really excited. He stood up, you know, and he's giving all this advice and saying all these things. And then he says, Mike, your church building is like 100 years old, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, how about you guys come up with a 100-year vision for Glen Arbor? And to tell you the truth, I was taken aback because all my years at Glen Arbor, you know, we've talked about short-term goals, goals for the year, 18 months. Sometimes we put down on paper like a 5 or 10 year vision at the most. And no one had ever challenged me, at least, to think about 100 years. You know, what is the Lord doing, taking a step back, and what is the Lord going to do long-term from a bird's-eye view, a 100-year view? What is God's grand plan for us? And so I was inspired to seek the Lord about that. And but what we're going to see in Ephesians 1:10 is that that's exactly what the Lord is doing, is taking a step back and showing us the 100,000 eternity view of what God's grand plan is and what he's doing and where he's going with this. And so my hope is that as we see and are inspired by the long-term vision of God's plan, his grand plan, that we'll be inspired in our here and now as we walk in Christ. So let's open in prayer and then we'll jump right into the verse. Father, we thank you for today that we can have a little fun doing magic tricks. And but ultimately that Lord, we ask that you would use all things that we do to glorify you, that today as we look at the object lesson from that magic trick, as we look at your word in Ephesians 1:10, Lord, that you would inspire our hearts in how we walk with you today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you start, if you could take out those notes, and I had a lot of people do this at the beginning of the service, but maybe you came in a little late, or maybe I didn't give you enough time. And if you could just take a few minutes on the back of your notes and write out a few things that bother you, if you haven't finished that already, a few things that bother you, either about bother you about our world today, about your personal future, or just current struggles. So if you could just take a minute or two and redo that, fill that out a little more, and then this is anonymous. It's just going to be between you and the Lord. No one's going to see it. You could write in shorthand if you don't want people looking over your shoulder. You know, like secret words that indicate what you really mean. But all right, as you're finishing that up, before we get into verse 10, we need to look at the context of verse 10, which is what Greg preached about last week, verse 9. And 9 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Now, in modern culture, this word mystery is often used in a different way, right? We say, if someone says, well, why does it do that? And you just say, I don't know, it's a mystery. That's how we use it a lot, right? I don't know, it's a mystery. Well, no one knows. But that's not the thought here. The thought here is that he made known the mystery. It's something that was hidden by God but is now revealed, as Pastor Greg preached on last week. It's been revealed. It's not something you can never figure out. It's something you can figure out because it was revealed to you in Christ, that God revealed the mystery to us. It was hidden and it's now revealed. And what was hidden and is now revealed is God's grand plan through Jesus Christ. The mystery was revealed when Jesus Christ was born, when he died, when he lived his life, when he died on the cross, when he rose again, when he ascended to heaven, and now through the church. The mystery is revealed. Our sins are forgiven. We have the hope of eternal life. And that redemption that God offers is for the Jews and the Gentiles. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Anyone who would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? That is the good news. That is the mystery fulfilled in Christ. And then we go on to verse 10 and it says, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And if you're like me, you're thinking, Paul, I'm lost here. I'm a little bit lost. You know, I thought God implemented his plan in Christ, that it's already done. That Christ came, that he died, he resurrected, he said it's finished when he was on the cross. It's over. God's plan has been implemented. And yet it says here to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And that sounds almost like it's something for the future, only for the future. And so let's look at this. First, we're going to look at the first phrase, to be put into effect. Now, the original Greek word here means management or stewardship or administration. The idea is that it's an administrator to be put in effect. Jesus is putting into effect God's plan. He's the one doing it. He's the administrator. He's the steward. He's the manager. He's in control. He's active. And we have, like, we have this big renovation project, as you know, in our West Wing. And there's a lot of moving parts. There's Educare, who's funding it. There's a construction management firm that laid out the design and hired the subcontractors. Then there's actual subcontractors that come and do the work. And then Dean is our ownership representative in the whole process. And he's on site supervising, administrating the plan through the workers that are doing the work. He's administrating that. And in one sense, he's putting the project into effect. He's putting it into effect. All right? So often I'll ask Dean, you know, well, what about this? What about that? Questions that I have about the project. And Dean's doing a great job. He's already thought about a lot of those things and usually is handling it already. And in the same way, we can wonder, well, what about this in the world? What about this in the world? What? We have questions. We have concerns. But Jesus is on the job. He is administrating this. He is handling this. He is handling our world. So if you have questions or concerns or unclarities about what's happening in your life and the world, bring them to Jesus, because he's the one in charge. He's the one doing, administrating God's plan and rolling it out. And even for little things, I know for me, this message I was putting together Friday night, I had a couple questions and concerns about how was I going to fit this together. And so I took it to the Lord, and the next morning Saturday morning I was having a devotional, and the Spirit brought to mind this and that, and it all came in a place. It was very clear. So the Lord will administrate and give you, he's already on the job, and he's going to give you the answers to what's happening and help you out when you have questions and concerns. I was thinking, too, about how, you know how when someone says, I got this, you know, you ask them something, and they're like, I got this. I remember we had this new one back when I was doing Boy Scouts with the boys. We had this new Boy Scout leader who ran an excavation company, and he drove to the first camp out. He pulled the trailer with his excavation pickup truck, and he was going to back the Boy Scout trailer into the campsite. And I thought, oh, well, he's a new dad. I should help him out. So I'm out there waving him. I'm like, go this way, go this way. You know, stop, you know. Finally, he rolled down his window. He pulled out his arm. He's like, Mike, I got this. <You know? laughs> And then I realized, oh, yeah, he runs like an excavation company. This guy, like, backs in giant trailers full of excavators and equipment, heavy-duty equipment. I'm like, you're right. You're the expert. What am I doing, you know? Leave you to it. And he got it. He got it. And when we say we got this, what it means is we're all over it. You know, in the same way, when we look at this world and the chaos in this world, and we can wonder, is God involved? Can he handle this? You know, Jesus says, I got this. I got this. Don't worry about it. I can handle this. I'm the expert in this. I know what I'm doing. And then the second half of this says, to be put in effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And you could ask, if you're me, you ask, you know, when is that? What does that mean? When does the time reach its fulfillment? And with the rest of Scripture, one thing we know is that one time that reached its fulfillment was when Christ came. Because in Galatians 4:4 it says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. So that was a time that was the right time. When the time, set time, had fully come, God sent his Son. That's in Galatians 4:4. Christ was administering God's plan when he came to earth to die for us. But we also read in Scripture of other times that haven't occurred yet. The end times, right? We know that there's more coming. We read in Scripture that more times are coming that haven't been fulfilled yet. And so the climax of Jesus' work is not done yet. It's not done yet. Got off to a great start, and it's in motion, but it's not done yet. More people are coming to him. The end times have not been fulfilled yet. And it's in progress. But it will be fully fulfilled in the future at the right time. At the right times, it will be fully fulfilled. Jesus is going to continue administering this plan until it's done, okay, until the project is done. And he won't drop the ball. One commentator summed it up this way. He said, Christians are to be people who live in the present, founded on the past, and pulled by the future. Live in the present, founded on the past, but pulled by the future. That's our life, to look at all aspects, to realize we live in Christ now, to reflect and remember what Christ did for us, and to look forward to what Christ is going to do in the end times. And what is the future of God's plan? It says in the rest of this verse, verse 10, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's his grand plan, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Some scholars say that this verse is really the key to the whole letter of Ephesians. This is the pinnacle, because here you reveal not only what God did, but what he's going to do. This is his grand plan. This is the big idea. He's going to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Now, how many of you are into Marvel movies? How many of you watch Marvel movies? Okay. Yeah, Dean reluctantly raised. So you know that the latest one, Infinity Wars, in part one, they kind of left us hanging, right? It was a pretty bleak future for the universe in part one. Part two's coming out, and I can't wait because I want to see what the end game is. I want to know what the end game of this whole thing is. And it hasn't been revealed. Now, if you know it, don't tell me, because I want to be surprised when I go see the movie. But for us, we don't need to wonder what the end game is in our universe. We know what the end game is. God's revealed it. He's gonna go all the way to the end and bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. It's already begun in Christ, and it's being experienced now in Christ. We get the benefits of what Christ is doing now. We don't have to wait for the future. Christ already died for us, transformed our lives, and he's active working in us today, and he will continue that work all the way until the end times. And God is administering this to the very end. Christ is administering this to the very end, even though it's not complete yet. We're saved. We will be saved for all eternity. We were redeemed, as Dean preached on one week, and we will be redeemed for all eternity. We know our spiritual roots, and we know our future. Let's look at a timeline. This is what we know about God's plan. You know, this plan's been around for a while. He didn't just make this plan last week. This plan has been around for all of time, all of human time and before. So if here's a timeline. We see his grand plan laid out from the very beginning in creation. God started his plan in creation and what he created, and he began it. And then we see glimpses of his plan in dealing with the nation of Israel. He showed us glimpses of his plan and worked through the nation of Israel. And then his plan was more fully revealed in Jesus Christ and his advent, coming to earth, and what he has done on earth for us and dying on the cross. And then his plan is continuing right now in us today in 2019. God's plan is being unveiled to us. And what we know from reading about the future in Scripture is that the end times will come and his plan will come to fruition. And there'll be a new heaven and new earth. And then we know that there'll be eternity after that. We know the whole story from beginning to end. But here's the big thought, is that this is not an afterthought. It's not like God created creation and then was sitting around and be like, well, that didn't work very well. You know, these guys are sinners. They turn from me. They rebel from me. Well, I'll form this nation of Israel and well, hopefully that'll work. Well, that didn't work. I better send Jesus in quick. He's the SWAT team to save this whole mess. You know, that's not the way God, this whole plan was unveiled from the very beginning. And I know it's hard to, a concept to grasp, but hard for me too, but God's outside of time. He's omniscient. And so he's out here. He's bigger than just the timeline that we see in history. He's had this grand plan for all times. This whole timeline was part of his grand plan, and it's going to come to fruition when he unites all to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Sorry, you can't see that too well. The NSB version puts it this way in bringing unity to all things. It says, the NASB says, it sums up of all things under Christ. Sums up. That means the world's going to be restored. It's going to be put together in Christ the way he intended it to be. See, the restoration has not fully occurred yet in this world. Currently, things in this world are not yet all summed up. They're not all yet united in under Christ. They're not yet all that way. It's a messy world still, but it's coming. It's like when I do this magic trick that I did this morning, you know, what we see is kind of this. What we see is kind of this mess, you know. We see a messy world. And we see all these different ingredients, and what do we have, like sugar and flour and milk. We see all these different ingredients. We don't really understand what God's doing or what is happening here. You know, and it's easy, like what I was going to tell the kids in the children's minute is that often you wonder, you know, you didn't know what was, if I knew what I was doing, you know, you wonder if I knew what I was doing. Yet in the end, you saw that, oh, I did. And there was an end to this, an end game. And it's the same thing in our lives today. We can look at all these messy things in our lives and we can think, does God know what he's doing? But he does. All things are going to come together. They're going to sum up. They're going to be put in order. They're going to be ordered. They're going to be the way they ought to be. It's going to be a glorious end in what God has planned and his grand plan. It's going to be glorious, just like a cake is glorious compared to, although if Felicity hadn't chowed, apart from that, it's going to be glorious compared to the messes and what we see in this world in our small view that we have today. All these things are going to be handled by Christ. You know, we look at things and we think, wow, there's people getting away with stuff, and we can think it's unfair. You know, maybe someone wronged you and you feel pain and you think, oh, it's unfair. Or maybe you know someone that is living an ungodly life and yet they seem to have a better life than you. And you're like, I'm trying to follow God. And yet these people are just worldly and they have a much better life than me. And you think it's unfair. And you think maybe your whole world is turned upside down by a health issue. And you can think it's unfair because you see the mess. You see the mess. Maybe you've lost someone and you can't get over that grief of losing someone. You know, today is the anniversary of Bob Telcott's passing. 6 years. And why do I always preach on an anniversary of someone in our church that passed away? But February was a tough month for our church. But it's been 6 years, and you can think, wow, that's messy. What's happened as a result of that, you know? And we look at this world, and we think, oh, there's just so much mess. And listen, in the end, the good news is that this is part of God's grand plan to put this all together, to make this right, to put it in order. These things are going to be arranged as they should be, and we're going to see them more clearly in the end. The things that we don't see now, we will see more clearly in the end. All the suffering is going to be gone for those who are in Christ Jesus. All the pain is going to disappear for those who are in Christ Jesus. All injustices are going to be handled by Christ Jesus. They're going to be handled. All things in this world are going to come under the eternal lordship of Christ Jesus. Billy Graham understood this. He passed away in February. Was it last year? Of last year. And one of his famous sayings is that he said, my home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. And that's the vision of God's grand plan. When we grasp God's grand plan, we can be at peace about whatever happens in this world. In this world. The applications here are that we can have peace in the world's future. This is a little fill in the blank in case you're falling asleep at the end. We can have peace in the world's future. We don't need to fret over what's going to happen to our country. We don't need to fret over what's going to happen to our world. We know the end game. We can have peace in the world's future. We can have peace in our future. I think of, we're talking about Marvel a little bit. You know, we're like, you know, in Marvel, you ever notice all the major characters never die. You know, all the major superheroes. The minor characters they'll get rid of once in a while. But the major superheroes never, they're like indestructible, you know. And I thought about, wow, in one spiritual sense, you know, in Christ, we are indestructible with the resurrection power of Christ. You know, we're not going to die. Christ said, whoever lives by believing in me will never die, is what he promised. Will never die. We're like indestructible superheroes in that sense. I like to think of myself like Iron Man, you know. Not because of the unrighteous parts, but he's a little snarky. I kind of like that. And I don't know. Let's see. I'll say Kellen's kind of like Captain Marvel. He runs a lot. He can run long distances, so he's kind of like Captain Marvel. And I don't know. Foster's like Thor. He can just lift up a big old air conditioner, you know, or whatever. Don't let it go to your head. But the point is, we're like superheroes in the sense that Jesus promised we're never going to die in him. We're never going to die by believing in him. You will never die, he promised. We can have peace in our future, and we can have peace in our current struggles. You know, maybe we don't worry so much about the future. We worry more about the things today. And Paul said in Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory, the end game of what is going to be revealed in the end, God's grand plan. I remember the day after I came to faith in Christ in college. I woke up that morning, and I was a baby Christian, new Christian, and I was like, who cares about this math test I have today? I'm going to heaven, you know? I was like, I know I didn't study for it, but who cares, really? In light of eternity, what does it matter? And I did come back down to earth and realize I still got to work hard during my days here on earth. But in another sense, now looking back on that time, I think I had it right in one sense. I think I had the right perspective in one sense. Not that to use it as an excuse, not for doing the Lord's work and what the Lord's directed you to do, but I think I had it right in that perspective, God's grand plan. Before we close here, would you take out those things that you wrote at the beginning this morning, those things that bother you, and would you just take a moment and pray again about those things in light of Ephesians 1:10, what we've talked about today. In light of God's grand plan, will you lift those things up to the Lord? Pray those things. Pray for those things to him, that ultimately he's going to unite all things under Christ in his grand plan that will occur. He's going to handle it. He's the administrator, so let's bring him to him. So why don't you do that right now? Father, help us to walk in the here and now with the perspective of your ultimate plan to unite all things together, that you're administrating this all the way to the end, Jesus. Spirit, that you're with us to be our helper, to guide us as we walk through this world before the end comes, before the end times come, Lord. I just ask for these things that are on our hearts that bother us, Lord, that you would give us perspective of time. And what you're doing, Lord, your involvement. You're not some distant God, but you're heavily involved in all that's happening with us, Lord. I don't know if someone here today is angry for something that's happened in this world or happened to them, Lord. Help them lift these things up to you, to know, Jesus, that you are Lord and that you are sovereign and that all these things will be made right. Help us live now with perspective of what you're doing and preparing for all eternity. And we lift everyone up to you. I pray this in your son's name.